You got the mic set on? The mic?
Yep, I got the mic set in the mic.
The wicket to the mic to the maka.
I do want to remind everybody that some voices, they have treble, and some voices, they have bass, but we've got the kind of voices that are in your face.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Welcome to Podzor episode 51.
Podzor episode 51.
Brought to you by Dan's Duct Tape. If you have to throw somebody in the back of your car, it's always best to use Dan's duct tape first. On sight, they know my song, and it ain't slow, and it sure ain't long. You see, I do not play. Forgive me, Father, I was forced out of feng shui. A flow of solo as a summer breeze. Whispering wind, hear the talking cheese.
You've been thinking about that all day, haven't you?
No, actually, I just kind of, no.
Oh.
Yeah. So how you been?
Busy.
Me too. After the last week, just to give everyone an update on your career situation, because you told them you got laid off last week.
So I did.
They may be concerned.
Okay.
And worried about you.
They may
have been staying up late at night.
For those of you who have been concerned about my career, I did have a couple of interviews, and I'm hoping to hear back from a couple of people this next week.
All right.
So hopefully then I'll be back in the money.
Back in the saddle again. And you can buy some podcasting equipment then.
Yeah.
And then our audio will be perfect.
Exactly.
So we're going back to another audio set because we don't have our headsets today.
Yeah, we're at studio number two, and I forgot to bring the headsets.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a little bit echoey, but I don't really care.
I don't really care either.
Nope.
You know they're going to hear my voice more than yours because this thing's pointing right at me. And
yeah, but I'll just rip that audio out completely.
You will?
No. Well, anyway. Whatever.
I think you should put that right there.
Should put that right there?
And that way it catches both of us.
That way. And then we probably don't even need that one.
Exactly. But we'll leave it anyway. See what it catches.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we'll do this. And we'll just see what happens since we're fucked up anyway.
There we go.
It's pointed
now.
Now we got two mics on both of us.
Yeah.
And we're both about equidistant away.
Equidistant. Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah. I don't think I have any updates. We're going to do a martial arts diary update later on in the show, so that will
martial
be
arts diarrhea?
Diarrhea update. This is when you kick too hard and you squirt a little bit. You got to watch out for those horse stance positions.
Oh, you end up with horse turds.
That's right. Or at least a little bit of wetness in your underwear.
Oh.
So, shall we dive into the show head first? No holds barred with a cherry on top.
And whipped cream.
Tech tips. I have a Pocket Mod update. It's more of a follow-up than an update.
Ah, gotcha.
So I've been using it since we mentioned it last.
Okay.
I fucking love it.
Do you?
It works really, really well. And you know the concern you had about, like, every time you got to swap one out, you got to make a new one, and it's real kind of a pain in the ass?
Yeah.
I printed up 10 of them, made them all, took me like 15 minutes
right.
to make all 10 of them, and now when I filled one up, I just transfer the relevant information, which usually isn't very much,
right.
and then boom,
nice.
I'm good to go. So like all the people that I had to call to see about classrooms for our martial art class,
yes.
all of those notes were on there. Appointments, things like that. It works
yep.
really well.
So. I actually have mine with me as well.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I have one.
Cool.
Yep, I don't use it very much because I'm just not a note taker, list maker kind of person, but
yep.
occasionally I get the urge, and when I do, I just whip it out
yep.
and write on it.
Well, like Jen wanted me to go to the grocery store yesterday. Boom, grocery list right on it.
Yeah.
Done. It's nice. So that's the Tech Tip Pocket Mod update.
Follow up date. Yes.
Yeah. So,
and I don't have anything, I don't think.
No, well, tech tips are a little tough to come by sometimes, but.
Okay, well, let's just move it into tech and science stuff.
What's the first on the list? First pirated HD DVD movie hits BitTorrent.
Nice.
Now, the reason, and I think that several podcasts have mentioned this and it's been in the news. Well, not so much, though. The
I have been listening to the Security Now podcast.
Okay.
The encryption and security stuff that they're putting on these HD DVDs and especially Blu-ray is fucking insane. And they're having to put it in Vista as well, which means that all of the video card manufacturers have to put it in their video cards.
Oh, God.
So that they can be Vista certified.
You know
it
what?
It is insane.
No.
And I think one of the things that frustrates me about this whole situation is already HD DVD has been hacked.
Oh.
It was so fast
yeah.
that all of this bullshit that they're trying to put on there, all it's doing is inconveniencing the people that are buying things legitimately.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
the pirates will buy an HD TV. They will set up an HD camcorder in front of it, and they will videotape the fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's but not that tough to do.
It's like, yeah, this just cracks me up. Because it's like and these people, it's like, it's akin to making laws. Laws are there for people who are going to follow them. The bad guys don't follow laws. So you can make all the laws you want. Right. The bad guys don't care.
Well, and I think that what they don't realize is they think that using technology, they'll be able to beat these guys somehow.
And they can't. They won't.
And they can't do it. And right now,
they're never going to be able to do it.
Well,
there's always going to be somebody out there who's fucking smarter than they are.
Well, part of it, what it is as the manufacturers make their HD players, right?
Yeah.
This is the unit players. they get a special key from the motion picture industry.
Yes.
To authorize them to be able to play HD DVDs.
Right.
Well, if a hacker gets a hold of the key, then the movie theater companies or the movie industry, whatever, can then start outputting HD DVDs that will block that key. So if you have this key, you can't play the newest movie that comes out, whatever it might be.
Okay.
But what if you have that player?
Right.
If you have that player been hacked, you won't be able to play those movies anymore.
Right.
And you're just fucked.
Yeah.
Now, I guess from what some people say is that it's kind of people are making a bigger deal out of it because they have the ability to do it, but it's almost guaranteed they never will because it'll cause too many problems.
Right.
Even so, it's just ridiculous to do it in the first place.
Yeah. They need to find, the music industry and the movie industry, they have got to find a new way to deal with piracy.
And I really think that a good way to do it, in all honesty, is the video on demand and the Xbox Live. Because now that I have Xbox Live, for example, I can look up content. I can get a movie for like $5 or $6.
Right. And it's download easier.
It. Not only is it easier, it's not as hackable. It's not as convenient for me to hack it and burn it to a DVD and make my own copy.
Right.
Now, the other side of this is that I don't think the individual is what they're concerned about. They're concerned about the guy who's making a living selling pirated DVDs and HD DVDs. And the way to crack down on that is to fucking crack down on that.
I'm going to have to disagree there. Look at all the people the music industry is going after that are not people making any money off of this stuff.
I don't think they're the problem. I really don't think
and I agree with you, the problem is they don't care. Someone like the music industry doesn't care. They went after some mom and her two 12-year-old kids or whatever.
Well, I told you about them going after the dead kid, didn't I?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they sent this lawsuit letter to this family, and the kid had died. So they postponed the lawsuit for like 6 weeks.
Nice.
They didn't just drop it. They postponed
it. They gave them 6 weeks of grieving before they ended up
suing the shit out of them.
Suing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I'm saying is they go after those people to make a point. And, all it does is make them look like a bunch of assholes,
yeah.
which they are.
But, you know...
And you're right. Those people aren't the problem. The problem are the people who are mass producing and mass selling these
things.
Yes.
And the problem is, especially with overseas stuff.
Right.
You know, you have shops, rented out shops of nothing but pirated video games and DVDs.
And you have places like All of MP3.
And you have places like All of MP3.
And America's like, shut down or we're going to have trade
and you know
disputes.
What?
And they're like, screw you. We're operating by our laws and we're completely legal right now.
I think it's a greed issue because if the music industry went to All of MP3 and said, how about this? How about you sell your – you charge an extra 5 cents per song and give it to us. Boom. Done deal.
Yeah, but the music
But they don't want 5 cents a song.
Right.
They want 95 cents a song.
They want all of it. They want it all.
Right.
They're like, you don't own any of this music. We own all this music.
Right.
You're selling it. All that money is ours.
Well, I think what will be really interesting is when musicians who record stuff themselves start going to Apple and say, I want to sell my song on iTunes.
Right.
But I'm just a guy who recorded my stuff in the basement.
And I don't have a producer.
I don't have a producer. I don't have any. And I'll tell you what, we'll split it 50-50.
Yep.
And Apple will be like, fuck yeah, bring it on.
Right.
But, you know, then that might cause problems
for
them otherwise,
though?
Too.
I tell you what, I see in the probably somewhat far future, we're going to have all these people who are, you know, managing these groups, managing music and doing with these production companies, and you're going to start seeing independents pop up who are going to sell their own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to say, screw you, big corporations.
Yep.
Not only are you fucking me by taking most of my profits, you're causing all sorts of havoc in the real world, too. So eventually, they're going to just start skirting around. You see it already. There's a huge move in independent music and independent films already.
Yeah, and what I really see is that, you know, it's a lot like it's a lot like podcasting, in that you've got Adam Curry was just on Twit and he said just in the podcast network alone, his network, Pod Show Network, he's got 5,000 podcasts.
Right.
And the deal is that regardless of what's popular or not, you listen to the things that you're interested in listening to.
That's right.
So the relevance has nothing to do with marketing or large music companies pushing your music out to the masses. It ends up being what you actually want to listen to.
Right.
And I got to say that if, for example, these independent movie producers and independent music artists start going to Apple, and that's just a good example because it's so popular right now.
Yes.
But they have – if every individual sort of has one or maybe three places to go to get their content, and all of a sudden they can get any content they want.
Yep.
These large companies like BMG and I don't know who else produces music.
Sony.
They'll be totally out of the loop because guess what? They provide no value at all.
That's right. The benefit right now they have, their big benefit. In fact, that's the big thing right now. The big benefit a company like that offers and the big movie companies offer is they put all sorts of money into advertising a film.
They're a marketing company.
They're a gigantic advertising company.
Yep.
And when you can start, like you said, I mean, is it ever going to go away completely? No.
Well, and
but
I do have to say that
there's going to be a huge chunk of it missing in the not too far future.
I do have to say that there are, you know, $100 million movie still looks really good.
Yes.
And I would hate to see that go away for 100 crappy $1 million movies.
Right.
But I really do think that I don't know that that model is supportable anymore. I don't know if you can support that model because it's just
you've already seen it. It's really rare to see your huge budget films. Those are really rare. Most of your big studios won't spend that kind of money on a movie now anyway. The only way they'll do it is if you got a proven director and a proven, you know, and we already seen
Superman Returns.
Right. And why do you think
Bryan Singer and Superman?
Right.
How can you fucking fail?
Exactly. And those are the only movies they're taking chances on.
Yeah.
And remakes.
Well,
remakes of old movies that are popular, they'll take chances on those. Other than that, they are not taking chances. You might as well go independent.
And part of what makes me think of all this stuff is that right now I've got content on Xbox Live. I have content on iTunes, and I have my DVR, and I have on demand.
Yep.
So I have shows that I want to watch piling up. I'm behind 3 episodes in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
I've got the Dresden Files that I want to watch.
I can't freaking keep up either.
I want to watch Star Trek and High Def on Xbox Live. Yep. And so what it comes down to is that now, for example, I have 10 shows that I may really like to watch and only get the chance to watch 5 of them.
That's right.
And so those 5 become the top of the list. Are they the ones that – are they the 24s? Are they CSI? No, I'm not interested in watching those shows.
Right.
So it's important to be able to make my content available wherever, whenever. That's far more important to me than, you know, whoever the fuck is making the money when it happens. I would rather see all my money go to the actors and the directors and the people that actually work on Battlestar Galactica as opposed to just these people who invest some money and... You know,
right.
Instead of the investors,
yes,
essentially. Although there's a place for them too, I guess. But
because they had to supply the money for a show like that at this point. But again, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we beat the crap out of that issue
a lot.
Well, not really. It was kind of related to this whole pirating and where
it's just. Yeah, I mean, they need to worry less about pirating and worry more about delivering good content that people are willing to pay for.
Right.
And delivering it in a way. That's easier.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You start delivering the content that people want in a really easy, you know, in the really easy delivery format, and people will pay for the convenience. They'll pay for it just because it's convenient.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons that all of MP3 is so big, is that buying songs from all of MP3 is almost easier than buying them from iTunes.
Yes.
Given the interface and all that stuff, it's just such a simple process.
Yep.
And so what is iTunes going to give me that all of MP3 doesn't? Fucking nothing.
Nothing. No, it doesn't get anything.
And I think the Xbox Live is a perfect example of, you know, I don't have to go down to Blockbuster. I don't have to leave my couch. I zip through. Man, it would be really cool to watch Star Trek in high def. Boom, there's $2. And I don't have a problem paying $2 for it.
Yeah, no. Nope.
So, all right, let's move on.
All right. Well, real quick, actually, since that relates to something I wanted to talk about real quick, was iTunes. And I have decided that iTunes still is the only way to go as far as podcatching. I went through the other day and tried 4 other podcatching pieces of software.
No deal, huh?
Fried my iPod. I had to reformat.
Oh.
I had to go get all my music again.
Oh.
Just nobody else has gotten it right. I'm sorry. No. And there's some things that are okay and you can do it. And as bulky as iTunes is, I would not recommend anything
else
but iTunes right now.
I was really disappointed that RSS feeds weren't in Media Player 11.
Befuddled. At this point, I've written Microsoft products off altogether.
I've been meaning to, and maybe in the next couple of days I'll get it out there. I have a JavaScript and a batch file.
You talked about that 2 weeks ago when we did our last thing. Get it out there, bitch.
But... It's a nice little script, so I will get it out there.
All right.
What's the next one?
PSP keyboard at the Pocket Gamer Blog.
Yeah, so I think this might maybe revive, at least to some degree, the PSP.
Crap, it's crap. Get rid of it. It's crap.
Yeah, but imagine if you're a student, you could take notes on your PSP. Or you could play Luminesce during the lecture saying you're taking notes on your PSP.
If I want to take notes, I can just print out a pocket mod.
No, that's not going to work. A keyboard for the PSP. It's a little computer already.
All right. How big is the keyboard?
It's like a, you know.
It's not full size, right?
No, probably not. I have something very similar for my my pocket PC.
You know what they have?
It's just a folding, collapsible keyboard.
They have a laser keyboard now.
The one that shines the...
Yes.
And you type out on the...
I say, tack one of those on top of your...
Now see, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Or a lip reader, dude.
A little camera. You could just point it there.
And you talk at it, and it reads your lip.
Now we're stretching a little bit.
Okay.
All right, so a PSP keyboard,
Don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Nah, because I think the problem is not that
you
people...
You think the PSP is dead?
The problem is not that people can't... are going, God, if only I could type on my PSP, I would fucking love this thing. The games suck, crap. It's not portable enough. Custom format bullshit.
Yeah.
It's crap.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it. The hardware's great. Don't get me wrong.
The hardware's
great. I love the hardware. But, you know, I could have the body of a Porsche on my fucking Saturn. It's still fucking Saturn.
You know, in 3.0, I think one of the things that was very cool is it makes a nice podcatcher now. You can download and play podcasts.
Yeah, but you got to spend another $500 just to get enough memory to hold enough podcasts to listen to. It's crap. You know, I can fit a bajillion podcasts on my iPod, which cost, after the purchase, my iPod was about half the cost of the original purchase of the PSP.
Yep.
You know, not to count $50 to $60 a game.
Yeah. Oh, I bought Sudoku for my iPod.
You did?
Yeah. Fun game.
Is it?
Fun game.
I have yet to buy any games for my iPod. I don't know why.
You just can't justify it, huh?
No, I can't.
I can justify a couple here and there.
I thought about the poker game, but...
It's fun.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I still love my iPod. I got my FM tuner and all that shit.
Your transmitter?
Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
Okay.
What about next?
Microsoft and Google agree to NGO
now, this
code
is,
of conduct.
Yeah,
what's
this
NGO
is,
code of conduct?
Non-government offices, I believe, something like that.
Okay.
And this is something that we had talked about several months ago. Essentially, what they're doing is they're getting together and they're trying to establish a code of conduct for China. And essentially, if another country asks them to modify their business rules
to suit their country,
for the detriment of their people, Microsoft and Google are trying to figure out a way, trying to agree upon a standard way to approach that.
Aha, good for them.
Which I totally applaud, because one of the toughest things about, for example, telling China to fuck off, we're not going to modify our searches, is that China will just go, well, we'll just make Yahoo available instead of Google.
Right.
No problem.
Right. But then you know what happens? And I swear this will happen. It will. People catch wind of that, and eventually I did. I do not use Yahoo services at all, ever, anymore. I don't search on their site. I do nothing on there. Yeah. Because
My Yahoo's account is my junk mail.
Yeah. You know,
but
I think
you're a little bit more aware than most people. I would guess the vast...
Well, most people are dumb.
Yeah. Stupid people.
Duh.
Duh. I thought it was a really cool move, and I hope something comes out of it.
I think that's
And I good. Wish Yahoo were on that list too.
Yeah, they should be. They would be back in my good graces if they did that.
But you know,
you hear that, Yahoo?
Then China will go to either Tioma or Wise Nut or Ask.
Or Ass.
Ass.
Whatever. They can go. China can go to hell for all I care.
Really?
Yeah.
Straight to hell or
straight to?
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Nothing.
All right.
No, do not pass go or collect 200 yen.
Good point. It would be more like 2,000 yen, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
I think they could bring like real.
I think the yen is Japanese. Is that Chinese too?
Oh, I think you might be right. Yen is Japanese. What are the Chinese kind of currency have? What do the Chinese kind of currency have?
The Qing? The
Jesus Christ.
I think there's 10 Changs to a Ching.
Bend my Ching Chong now. Great.
We're systematically alienating all of the.
Now we gotta offend everyone else.
I think we have.
What do we have listed?
Mexicans
here?
And Jews left to offend before
we've
alienated the entire populace of the world.
You know what you get when you cross a Mexican and a Jew, don't you?
Oh, God. What?
I don't know. I just thought it would be funny to start it that way.
There's our next competition.
What do you
Somebody
get?
Finish what, the joke.
What do you cross a Mexican and a Jew? Oh, God.
And
hopefully it's a Mexican and a Mexican Jew that would answer that question.
You'd get a moo.
Yeah. That's classic.
Okay,
movie stuff. Moving on to movie stuff.
Sony and Columbia, David Koop,
For Spider-Man 4.
Spider-Man 4.
Now,
what the hell? Spider-Man 3
don't get me wrong.
Is not even out yet.
It's not out yet, is it?
No.
I saw this, and the thing that struck me the most...
Wait, we just kind of right into movie stuff. We're done with tech and science stuff, by the
way. We're done with tech and science stuff.
Wait, let's back up a second. See, now we're out of the... We're not done with tech and science stuff yet.
Oh, we're not?
No. I've got two things.
Two things.
There's a website called podcatchermatrix.org.
Very interesting.
And they compare and contrast all of the podcatchers that are available.
Oh, really?
So anyone who doesn't like iTunes, for whatever reason, can go...
Maybe you're on Linux.
Maybe, yep. So you can go to podcatchermatrix.org, and it lets you check the boxes next to all of them and do a direct comparison to all their different things. It's
whoa,
pretty cool.
All the features and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things about iTunes... is that between your iPod and iTunes, it keeps track of where you are in the podcast.
Yes. And
that's really nice.
The biggest problem I found with every other podcatcher out there, none of them are iPod compatible, directly
right.
iPod
All they do is compatible. Copy files.
Yep, and it's such a pain in the ass. So yep. I'm waiting for some third party to come out with something
yep.
that lets me direct, you know, you can go directly to your podcast. It's just not clean right now.
Well,
and probably that is the biggest feature. I can start listening to it, you know, and I yep. do it more now that, you know, that I'm not working. I listen to stuff at home, and then I get in my car to go to interviews or whatever, and then I pop
right.
in my... transmitter yep. and it picks right up where I left off.
Yep.
I love that.
That's really nice. And it gives you a count of how many times it was played and all that jazz. So
right.
What's your next story?
.NET Nuke.
.NET Nuke.
.NET Nuke is a portal.
That's fun to say.
It is. It's a portal. I learned about this on a job interview.
Oh.
It's a portal that is basically a bunch of mods.
A bunch?
A bunch.
A bunch.
A bunch of mods.
A bunch of mods.
It's Swiss.
Yeah.
A bunch of mods that support, it's basically .NET.
And I've heard of
it's
this
It's a whole
before,
framework, but... and it's actually quite interesting. Anybody who does .NET work or does a lot of websites, hosts a lot of websites for people or modifies, administers a lot of websites should check this out. It's a really kind of crazy cool drag-and-drop environment for building websites on the fly. You can actually import entire skins. You build a skin outside of the scope of the whole project. You import it, and it immediately applies the whole skin to the whole website. It's really
whoa.
Crazy. It doesn't involve a whole lot of coding, so for
can't you do that with CSS?
Yeah, but you don't understand. This is I've got a skin. All it is graphics.
Okay,
and it's a graphics with an HTML file, and so you must have
oh.
it must have specific tags. So you've developed your skin. You look at it, it's just an HTML file and graphics.
Okay,
and you put it into a SIT file.
Okay,
and all you do is import the SIT file and
boom.
Bam. So you don't have to make a CSS template or
right,
any
right,
of that
right,
stuff.
Right, 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 right.
So
and you're not talking about fonts and colors. You're
it's
talking about images,
images
as well and,
it's
and potentially rollovers
it's basically
and things like
images.
That. That's very cool.
So go to the About page and there's like a 15-minute tutorial on it. It's not code heavy. You don't have to be a coder to use it, which is the great part.
Oh, that's really nice.
So it's a lot of kind of drag and drop stuff. It's just a really nice environment that's built around .NET. There's a bunch of mods and
very cool.
Anyway, so if you're doing .NET stuff or just getting into it, go check it out. It's open source, which makes it all the cooler.
All the cooler.
All
now, what's its relationship
cooler.
To .NET?
It sits on .NET. It's an
oh, okay.
open source framework for creating enterprise web applications.
Okay. Do you need a Windows server to run on it?
You
to run it?
It runs in IIS.
Okay.
It's basically a website that lets you build websites.
Okay. So that wouldn't work for us, unfortunately.
No. Not unless we're running .NET.
We're not.
Right.
We're our pods or servers on Linux.
Right.
So
I run all my other home servers on
IIS.
All the stuff that I have are all PA. No.
Oh,
all my
PHP
all my stuff that I host on other yep. sites is all PHP and Apache.
Yep. Cool.
Just because I know how to do that, but this is nice yeah. for people who aren't heavy coders.
I like PHP and Apache because it's different.
Yeah, and it's open source.
So you got another one there? Or?
Nope, I don't.
No? Okay.
Some of this stuff was. Oh, actually, I do. I do.
What you got?
I can't believe you haven't seen these yet. Actually, this is the one. We have got Ubuntu Studio. This was actually from Mike. Blue Screen Mike sent this to us. Did you look
oh,
at this?
Oh, no, I did not.
In April, Ubuntu Studio is coming out. It's a Linux audio, video, and graphic
no
build
shit, dude.
For Linux.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited.
Me too. I got a big old hard on when I saw
April,
this.
Though, man.
Yeah.
There's no beta even, is
no,
there?
No, and it's ubuntustudio.org, and all it is basically is a screen, a splash
now,
screen with
I've got
to
say,
the wiki.
The only thing that I'm skeptical about is that it seems to me that you could build this on your own.
You could.
With all the open source software that's available, you could throw shit together on your own. And I have checked the best piece of audio editing software available right now on Linux is Audacity.
Yep.
And we've tried the video editing software, and it's poopy.
It is poopy. They may be doing some custom work, though.
So maybe they are.
So, but I will definitely be checking
out. Hell
we will
yeah.
give you big updates on that because
hell
I am
yeah.
super excited about that. There is a wiki that talks about some stuff, but it's still pretty hush hush. It seems like. So anyway,
all right.
And the other thing we have is. The ITV.
The ITV.
The ITV from Apple is basically...
It's a computer for your TV.
Right.
Essentially.
It's basically an entertainment yep. solution for your TV.
And, you know, one of the things I had talked about probably near our first podcasts, one of the first two or three, I had talked about making computers appliances.
Yes.
And that they won't be – what they need to do is they need to make them appliances.
Right.
With specific jobs.
Yep.
And this, I think, is a critical step in that. Now, you have TiVo, which is really just a Linux box.
Yeah.
You have things like the Xbox 360. But I think Apple has enough push and enough content that they can actually sell something like this. And I would love – to be able to have, for example, I bought season 3 of Battlestar Galactica on iTunes.
Right.
I have to dump it to my iPod and then hook up the jacks to run it through my TV.
Yeah.
I would love to just have something sitting next to my TV and say, order that.
Bam.
And it starts streaming yep. it and I'm done.
And they're pushing that way. So what do we got here? It connects to your TV via yep. an HDMI port. It's got 802.11 wireless. Syncs with your iTunes library. On both the Mac and the PC. And it lets you see. Yeah, so basically it lets you play all your movies, all your
yeah,
TV, all
I
your
mean,
music, all your podcasts, everything
yep.
on your TV.
Essentially, it's iTunes on your TV.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Microsoft tried to do that with Media Center. And I think the reason that it didn't work...
is because of the pain in the dick to get set up.
Well, they didn't have content. It was a pain in the ass to get it set up. The TVs weren't really ready for it.
No.
Because, like, S video out.
And it wasn't that piece of hardware was a computer.
That was the biggest problem.
That was basically almost
yes.
a Linux solution to some sort of a hack.
Yes. Is know? That and, it was a
right.
computer.
And true that to Apple style, this is a sexy looking piece of hardware that you just plug
nice
into your
and
TV
thin,
and
small.
Bam, you are good to go.
Yep. Now, I do think that – I think Xbox Live needs to get a lot more content, but it's definitely the same idea. It's
yes,
the exact same idea.
It is.
And you can't buy music on Xbox Live, but
right.
well, and that's never bothered
me. That's the
me.
Thing Apple has going for them right now. They
oh.
have the digs on content.
Did I tell you that I got the Zune player running upstairs?
The Zune player?
Yeah, there's a Zune player. It's like Media Player 11. It's
oh, gotcha.
I got it running on my computer upstairs, and I'm able to through my wireless network, share all of my MP3s with my Xbox.
Ooh,
remotely.
Nice.
Yeah. And it does video, but you have to convert it to WMV first, which is kind of a pain in the ass. But I did that to one of my old VHS transfer videos that I did.
Nice.
And so now it's sitting on my hard drive upstairs on my computer, and I can stream it right to my Xbox.
That's killer.
It's fucking sweet.
Killer sweet. Okay, we've exhausted tech and science.
Which makes a nice transition into
movies.
Stuff.
When each day's through, yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that...
Which we started already.
We did.
Sony...
Spider-Man 4 with David
Cole. So let me finish my thought on Spider-Man 4. I'm exhausted.
That was some energy.
That was quite a thing. So now I got to get my brain back on the Spider-Man 4 rant that I had going.
Okay.
So it seems obvious to me that the only fucking reason they haven't seen the numbers for Spider-Man 3.
No.
They don't know if people are excited about it. They don't know if people want to see it.
Right.
But they know that they have enough name recognition that they're going to make a fourth no matter fucking what.
Yep. No matter what.
And on top of all that, you have people who make movies complaining about all the piracy and all the everything that everybody's stealing money out of their pockets, yet they're cranking out movies 3 and 4 years before number 3 comes out. They're already in pre-production for number 4. Yeah, number 3 hasn't come out. They're in pre-production for number 4, not because the story is a continuation like Lord of the Rings, but because they know they can make money on it.
Yes. I wish all of our audience could see you going to town here right now.
That angers and I'm shaking my hands.
Yes, you are.
That angers and upsets me. Why not, instead of making another Spider-Man movie, what about an Iron Man movie?
Yes.
I'm dying for an Iron Man movie.
I know.
Or I would take another Incredible Hulk movie. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
I didn't even see the first one.
It was not bad.
All right, first of all, here we go. Have you seen the trailer for the new trailer for Spider-Man 3?
No.
Looks fucking fantastic.
Nice.
Action, action, action. Some really good... The storyline's still there.
Nice.
Looks like they got all the same people.
Oh, yeah, and Tobey Maguire and Hot Chick aren't signed up. They only signed up for 3.
Right.
So
we'll see. If Spider-Man 4 goes on to not have the original cast... Fuck it, it's done. Yep. And then fuck Hollywood, all right? Silver Surfer. There is a trailer out now for the Silver Surfer.
And on that same vein, I've also seen the trailers, the extended trailers for Ghost Rider.
Yes.
And while I was very skeptical before, it looks like they've thrown in some tongue-in-cheek elements that might make it like a cool movie.
Yes.
So I'm eager to see that.
Well, so yeah. So
yes, it's like
those are the things that I like. You're
make
right.
Some new
Spider-Man
shit.
4,
I'm not nearly as interested in Spider-Man 4.
Spider-Man 4?
Spider-Man 4.
Do we know what Spider-Man 4 is going to be about?
No.
Okay. Watch.
It's going to be about 2.5 hours long.
Ba-dum-bum. It's going to be about a guy running around in a suit with webs. Watch the trailer to Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
The special effects for the Sandman are awesome.
Really?
Yes. And Venom. Special effects for the Venom, the suit, all that stuff. Very cool. I have a feeling they're not going to follow the storyline with how Venom actually came to get a hold of Peter Parker and all that kind of stuff.
They can't. That's too deep.
Well, but the problem is you risk... These comic book movies, your target audience right now for comic book fans is huge.
Right.
And that, I'm sorry, if you're, I mean, they're writing a fine line of Spider-Man movies by targeting, starting to push the wrong target.
There are some things that comic book fans are willing to forgive and some things they aren't.
Right.
For example, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, did not have webs shooting out of his arms.
Right.
He had a physical piece of equipment that shot the webs.
Yes.
And I remember seeing an interview with Stan Lee. And Stan Lee was like, eh.
Right.
You can bypass. It's such an unimportant part of the story.
Yes.
That it's not that big a deal. They did things just to hurry stuff along.
But take that same thing and say, well, what if you just took Peter Parker's Uncle Ben completely out? Eh, it's not that important.
If he were already dead...
Well, but
I'm sure they could write the story.
They could, but you couldn't remove that entirely. That's his entire point for existing at this point as a superhero because of what happened to his Uncle Ben.
I gotta say that in the comic books, I never got that.
You didn't?
I never got that he was sort of in this continual struggle of making sure that his uncle was proud of him.
Now, that may not be the case, but the point is, his uncle's death and how it came about is the compelling reason for him to continue to be a superhero.
See, and I never got that in the comic books.
Yes.
I got his compelling reason to be a superhero is because he was compelled to be a superhero. And one of the reasons I always thought that he was a superhero is because he enjoyed it so much.
No. Nope, you'd be wrong.
I never got that internal struggle from him in the comic books.
Right. And it was there.
Okay.
So
I got to read more
Spider-Man. That's why I'm like, I mean, if you're going to take something as important as Venom, which is a major turn in events for him, because he basically is evil for a while until he beats, you know.
Right.
Then for them to just go, right now it looks like, there's this black ooze that gets on him and
whatever. Yeah.
So for me, like I said, I don't really care because I'm not a huge comic book fan.
Right.
But for that huge market of comic book fans that are going to see this movie and pay for it, my guess is they're going to have.
I mean, I know the backstory of Venom, and it would be a pain in the ass. You couldn't do it.
Well, right, because it's all. Yeah, I mean, I agree. You got to be careful when you do that.
I think the Beyonder takes all the good guys and all the bad guy superheroes to a distant world,
right?
And has them fight in a free for all, and he picks up the suit from some alien technology,
right?
You can't tell that backstory.
And eventually the suit becomes sentient.
Yeah, but they could have just picked a different villain.
Well, and that's my thing is, they threw Venom in there for the cool wow factor.
For the special effects.
For the special effects.
Yeah.
To the detriment of the storyline of how Venom becomes involved. So we'll see.
Hopefully. So anyway, don't go see Spider-Man 4.
What the hell? Oh, okay. Google announces overhaul of Google Video.
I don't even know if this is movie stuff, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that Google bought YouTube not too long ago. And I guess what Google is planning on doing is everything that used to be Google Video is now going to become YouTube.
Oh.
And what Google Video will become is the search engine for searching videos. Just like if you go to the images in the Google search, it searches all the images on the web.
Right.
But there's no real place to do that for video. You can search YouTube,
right?
But all it does is give you YouTube content. So Google is now planning on transforming their video search into searching video.
Interesting.
Which I think is a great idea because most of the time I go to YouTube, I go to Metacafe. Those are the two places I look for video, and I don't look anywhere else.
Google, to be honest, the Google Video stuff
is garbage.
It's pretty well. It's garbage.
It's garbage. And I think there are a couple of reasons that it's garbage and that it never took off. The UI is one of them. That not that YouTube has that great a UI.
Right.
But they have some nice suggestions for other videos you might like to watch. And I noticed one of the biggest problems with the Google Video is that there's no way to rescale your content. It always scales to the size of your window.
Yeah.
So if you have a really high resolution and it's a 320 by 240 video,
right,
and it scales up to 1600 by 1200,
it's going
to look like garbage.
Nothing worse than pixelated porn.
It's true. and if you just keep that scaled down to 320 by 240 and maybe give them the choice to double it, then people will just realize that it's not low quality content, it's low resolution content.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a learning curve yet involved with the web delivery format where people have to realize that you're going to to get to the most population, you need lower resolution videos, which you're just not going to be able to.
Well, and you know, I think the other thing that sort of gets thrown into all this and what we were talking about before is that you've got at the high end Spider-Man 4, right? Premium content, high def, full surround sound, all that stuff.
Right.
On the low end, you've got Cat on a Screen Door.
Right.
I don't care what Cat on a Screen Door looks like. Pixelated, not pixelated, whatever the case might be.
Yes.
You've also got, and what we were talking about before, some stuff in the middle. Several of the Star Wars fan films, for example.
Right.
Excellent quality. not million-dollar movies, maybe cost these people 10 grand to throw together and produce in a year of their lives or something like that.
Yes.
And it's you're gonna get to a place where there's shit that you don't want to watch on your computer. And it's back to the ITV.
Yep.
The high-def premium content you want to watch on your high-def TV.
Yes. And you want to watch it in a nice environment with a nice stereo system. And
chilling out on your couch, eating your popcorn, drinking your pop.
You want the freaking experience, man.
You want the experience, not on your computer. And that's one of the things that – well, and again, I think this is why ITV is so significant, because Apple has the ability to put both the hardware, the software, and the content together – to produce a single package.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is doing it with the Xbox 360, but not the content to the same degree.
Right.
Other movie stuff news.
Okay.
Netflix is now offering play-on-demand movies.
What?
Yeah.
How?
So some of the movies, when you get a Netflix account,
okay,
some of the movies will have a play button next to them. You hit the play button, boom, it starts streaming to your computer.
No,
just
shit.
Like that. But again, you have the problem where you have the content
on your computer,
but you don't have it where you want to have
yeah.
it.
Now, when I really want to enjoy watching a movie, I do not want to watch it on my computer.
Right.
I don't.
Right. And, you know, I could hook up a computer to my high-def TV, but I don't – then what do you do for a keyboard? What do you do for a mouse? It's going back to the fact that it has to be an appliance.
Yes.
And, you know, Apple is designing something that specifically has a remote control. You can do everything with the remote control. It goes back to the media center, the Xbox 360, all that stuff is moving in that direction of having an entertainment appliance.
Yep.
So, okay. We got a lot more left, and we're at 45 minutes.
Awesome.
So... okay. We are done with movie stuff, right?
Yeah.
Are we moving on to...
We are going to move on...
To
video game stuff.
Video game stuff.
We do not have any movie making or any RPG stuff, because we're slack asses. No, just
more than anything else.
Winter and jobs and yada 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 blah blah blah.
Yep,
this is the way it goes.
Things and stuff. So, video game stuff. We got two little ones. IGN Hotel Dusk Room 215 preview.
What is that?
This looks pretty interesting to me. This is a game for the DS.
Okay.
I got one more video game thing. I almost forgot. So this is a game for the DS, and it's an interactive book, essentially. Or it's a murder mystery is what it is. And the screenshots of it reminded me a lot of like King's Quest and stuff like that.
Mm.
But and you hold your DS upright instead of laying it, you know, so it's the screens are side to side instead of top and bottom.
Okay.
It looks like a compelling new game format to me.
Hmm.
In that you use the mouse, you use the pointer. What do they call that?
The pen
to pick things up.
The stylus
to pick things up and move things around.
Okay.
By the way, solid state was the word I was looking for in the last podcast. Mike pointed that out.
Solid state. Yes, solid state.
So you move the stylus.
Wow, that was very random of you, Dan.
Yes. So you can move things around and you can investigate things with the pointer. The stylus.
I like to investigate things with my stylus.
Do you?
Yes.
Dark holes? You like to spelunk with your stylist?
So,
there it is. It just looked intriguing. It's just a preview. If you have a DS, go check it out. The other thing is I actually have a review for Brain Age.
Brain Age? What's
Brain
that?
Age. Brain Age is this... It's sort of a game, sort of not a game. It's supposed to improve your mental capacity.
Really?
Your mental sharpness. And it's this game where every day you can take a little brain age test.
Okay.
And it checks, quote unquote, the age of your brain, which should be your age.
Interesting.
So my brain age should be 35.
Right.
And it gives you these little drills to practice doing. You have to do 20 math problems. And they're simple stuff like 4 plus 6, 3 plus 9, 3
Not
times 8.
Two trains are traveling at opposite directions.
It's very simple, but you have to do it as quickly as you can. And they have one that's kind of crazy. They show three little people, and then this house drops on them, right? And they're supposedly in the house. And then on the right or on the left side of the screen, people go in, and on the right side of the screen, people come out.
Okay.
And for about 5 or 6 seconds, people kind of stream in and out at a relatively slow pace. But then you have to tell the game how many people end up in the house at the end of the whole thing. So it's – and you got to do the kind of really fast math on that whole thing. And there's one where you have to it'll say the word red, but it will be in blue text. And you have to say the word blue because it has a little microphone on it.
No shit.
Yeah, so you have to sort of tap into – the other part of your brain reading the word.
That's funny.
So you track your progress and your brain age and your progress on
each of the different drills. So how old is your brain?
My brain is 39 right now. But I started out at 70.
Is that good or bad?
I started out at 70.
So they're assuming your brain – I would assume if your brain is really young, you'd be just as worse off. What if you have a 12-year-old brain?
Right. I think they're assuming younger – well, you can only go down to 20. 20 is the minimum. That's the best score.
I see. So it's like golf. Your lower score is better.
Yes. In that way.
Right.
Yes. You're not trying to get anything in a hole.
That's why I never liked golf.
Unless you're using...
I always like to take as many strokes as possible.
Unless you're... That's true. I try. What can I say? So I give it... it's hard to rate. If you like that kind of thing, that's the kind of thing you'll like, is all I can say about it. I got burned out on it after about a week. I just got bored with it.
Right.
So
it's like taking a test every day.
I'll give it a 15.
Okay. All right. That's good. 15. That's all right.
I my job is problem solving. That's pretty much all I do all day. So
right.
I don't really feel the need to
solve all
exercise
problems.
My brain that much.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
And
Two Worlds
is a new – what sounds to me, the impression I get – is it is a online it's a MMORPG for the Xbox 360.
Really?
Which seems very exciting to me.
Appealing.
Yeah, the one thing I don't know is they'll have to charge extra for it. I mean, like World of Warcraft, one of the reasons that you pay $10 a month,
$14.99.
Oh my god. One of the reasons that you pay $14.99 a month is because it's a persistent world.
Yes. And it's constantly under change. And
that's really the biggest problem is the idea of the persistent world and the bug fixes and the rebalancing of gameplay and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I would not be surprised, but I am really excited about it. If they could give me an Oblivion experience but drop it into the 360 and drop it into an online persistent world.
Yep.
I would fucking love that.
I'm telling you, dude.
I would love it.
The day somebody comes out with a decent MMORPG on
for
a console, I am a console
good
gamer.
Good night.
I am a console gamer.
And it makes all the – I am a console freakazoid, and we've talked about this. But
yeah.
The ability to sit on your couch with a simple controller, and that's the other problem they're going to have trouble with is figuring out the control scheme.
Yep. Somebody's got to come up with a new ingenuitive way to do it. And I think you take somebody like Nintendo with
like
Wii,
the DS,
and you use
if you just point to the power that you want and then point to the guy. If you have what do they call them, the quick keys, the slots?
Yep.
In World of Warcraft,
yep.
If you could point to a slot and say, "I want to cast that spell on that,"
or
guy, boom, boom,
or you can use gestures. You got.
Or you could use.
You got.
Oh, like spells.
Right.
You could just use a gesture.
And there's your spell.
And there's your spell. Oh, dude.
And you already got target, so you have somebody targeted, or like you said, you point to a target.
And then you gesture.
You make a gesture, and that executes special maneuvers. Or...
That's
a $10 idea, bitches.
That's a fucking $10 idea. You get 150 points for that.
Yes!
Because... Nintendo, if you fucking steal Sterling's idea, you owe me $10.
Right. I'll split it with you.
All right.
$5 each.
Because that's a brilliant idea. I would love to be able to do that. Cast a spell by swinging your arm around.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or make an up and down, paint the
fence,
wax the car.
Well, and you think about it, you could do that. Wax of my loins.
Wax.
No, you can do it with any remote. Well, I guess that's not true.
No.
Right now.
It would have to be the Wii. I guess you could do it with the PS3, but right. I think it only has two-dimensional motion.
Yep. So you'd have to be able to detect some of those things, but that would give you some options without having to have the keyboard. And you know, it's got headsets for talking instead of typing to people.
Yes.
You could have different channels that you could jump to. Instead of chat channels, you have, well, they still could be chat channels. You just jump to channel when you want to hear stuff.
You know what would be really sweet, and they could do this in WoW, is where you hold down a button... And then you say, cast fireball.
There you go.
And it interprets your voice because
they're already doing that for games.
My cell phone has it.
They're already doing that
for games. I can say, call Sterling, and it dials your number.
Right.
Because I've pre-recorded my voice. I said, identify this wave pattern with this particular number.
Yep.
Boom. Done.
And then you just run into some issues with making sure you name things aptly and, you know, briefly. So you don't – because, like, right now in World of Warcraft, you have things like –
adjunct Mordenkainen's
deathly
sphere of violence.
Exactly. And by the time you get that out, you're dead.
But I could say, for example, I could go into the tools and say record voice pattern, and I could say cast ASDF.
There you go.
And then identify it with
that
spell.
So you could make aliases for yourself.
I could make my own voice pattern.
You'd have custom aliases. It'd be like a hotbar, but for your voice.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant!
Damn it!
Oh man, if only
now we just make
a
video game.
Yeah, if only people would pay us to do this.
Where are we at here? Good lord, we're talking gibber jabbering.
Okay. Speaking
55 minutes.
Speaking of WoW,
yes.
I'm gonna give my review of the new WoW expansion.
Yes.
The Burning Crusade.
Mordenkainen's Revenge.
Mordenkainen's Revenge. No.
No.
The Burning Crusade.
Yes.
And I went opening night, stood in line for 30 minutes. Consorting with all the other geeks and nerds.
Yes.
Talking nothing but WoW for an hour in the freezing cold to get my copy. I was home by 12:30, installed, up and running by 1 a.m. Booyah! My shaman is now almost level 39. I've had the game for, I think, 2 weeks now, and my shaman's almost level 40.
Oh, my God.
So, I played all day. I played till 6 a.m. You know, and I got the next morning, play. It worked out really well that I lost my job.
Yes. That's kind of...
So I've got some
That's eerily coincidental.
Serious.
Suspicious.
I know nothing! the new content is just brilliant. They've done some really, really...
How are the new races, right?
The new races are fan-fucking
well-balanced?
Well-balanced. Actually, a little bit more powerful, I think. Some of the racials are pretty good. But not too much.
Is this an expansion that you can buy without having the original game?
No, you have to have the original.
Okay.
And basically, if you're a PvPer in WoW, if you do player versus player stuff, and you do not have the expansion... Say goodnight, Gracie, because you're fucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you can't get above level 70 without the expansion.
Oh,
you can't get any of the new armor, any of the new nothing. You need to have the expansion.
Man.
If you're a PvEer, it doesn't really matter. But if you don't have the expansion, you're fucked in PvP.
Just PvP, player versus player, PvE, player versus enemy?
Environment.
Yeah, okay.
So, but the graphics are great. All the new environments are spectacular. They added a bunch of new fun quests now.
Wow.
They incorporated the Z-axis now into the game. Because before, you could swim and stuff like that and do a couple things underwater. But now they've introduced flying. And
there's
a quest where you go on a bombing run on an armored griffin and drop bombs on people from up above.
No way.
It's just fucking crazy. So now sometimes you can harvest herbs from creatures that you kill. You can get buffs by harvesting an herb.
Really?
A whole new set of materials to work with. Now you got nether weave drops and all this other crap.
Well, I was talking to a friend, and his wife got addicted to Oblivion for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whatever you do, don't bring WoW into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Because Oblivion is a relatively deep and impressive single-player game. Nothing compared to WoW.
Right.
And I told him, I said, there are some people that go on the game, and they just fish.
Yeah.
So that they can get fish so that they can go and barter them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that becomes an interesting process compared to the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so deep and so complicated that it astounds
me. And they added all new stuff now. Like, each of the new zones in Outland, which is basically you have to teleport to. They have a big central city that's got teleporters to all the main cities.
Oh, that's my phone. Hang on.
Don't! Resuming.
Oh, and we're back.
Resuming. So anyway, now there's PvP objectives out in all those. So if you control these three towers, then you get a 5% bonus to XP in that zone.
Whoa.
Or you get a 5% bonus to damage. And there's all these objectives now you have.
Weird.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
You know, I think one of the things, and I don't know if they're planning this in the distant future, the thing that I think really ties, for example, if you could get Second Life and World of Warcraft, those two philosophies married.
Right.
Where you can build and own a home in World of Warcraft.
Yes.
You could take over a castle.
Right.
And then actually be a king with other players that are like, that run quests for you.
Right.
And shit like that. That would be cool.
Right.
That would be really cool.
And the interesting thing about that would be you'd have to be very careful as the king, and you'd have to build up things because you would have the option of your people, if you were a dick,
overthrowing you,
kicking you out,
yep,
and pushing somebody else into your place.
Sure. You'd have the chance for another kingdom
to come in and wipe
you out. And take you over.
Eventually, though, I think what would happen is you'd see guilds of people that would rise up, take over the entire world, and they would just run everything. The problem with a situation like that is you've got certain people who have no constraints on
time. Why do you think that hasn't happened in the real world then?
Because we have people devoted to stopping that. In an online world like this, it's interesting, you'll see, because you can only host so many people. You have certain guilds that do things before anybody else.
Really?
Guilds of hundreds of people.
Whoa.
And the thing is, you've got these people who play the game all day long.
Right.
That's their life. They do nothing but play World of Warcraft.
Right.
They don't have jobs. They're living in mom's basement.
So they would rise to the top.
Purely for the fact that they get to spend more time at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in the real world, because in the real world, we were paying people to keep things. I mean, that's what you do for your job.
In the real world, everyone has the same amount of time to spend.
In the real world.
Doing whatever it is they're going to do.
Right. Yeah. In World of Warcraft, it's... You spend as much time as you have, and the rest of it you spend...
Don't they still... They still limit XP, though, right?
What do you mean?
If you're in-world for more than, like, 4 hours, they start reducing the amount of XP you get?
No.
I thought they did that.
You get a bonus for having rested. You have a rested bar that builds up as you rest in an inn or a tavern.
Right.
And then
how long do you have to rest for?
It starts the second you get in there. All of a sudden, you're rested. But that bar starts to grow. So you have like a mini XP bar in your XP bar.
How long does it take to get back down once it's at full?
Well, you can have a level and a half of rested XP. And it just means you get double XP until you get to that marker. And then it goes back to normal XP until you rest long enough to let the marker go out again. But
how long does it take for the marker to go out again?
For the marker to go all the way out to a full level and a half probably takes about a week.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. If you were to rest your character in an inn and not touch him for a week, by the time you came back,
you'd get
XP for a level and a half.
I see.
Okay. But you get a quarter of a bubble, half a bubble for 8 hours of rest or something like that.
So they do sort of, to some degree, punish the people that are on there for 28 hours.
No, actually, it's the other way around. You get an advantage for not logging on. You still, if you were to play for 40 hours a day or a week, whatever, you may not ever have any rested XP left, But the fact that you're putting that much time in, you would still level faster than somebody who played their character through the rest of XP and then rested again until it filled up and then played again.
Right.
You're still at an advantage to play more.
Really?
Yes. This is just an advantage for those people who can't play more.
So I'm just curious. And now we're going to bore everybody. But if I were to play for 20 hours, if I were to play for, say, 8 hours on Sunday.
Yes.
Not touch it for a whole week.
Yep.
Play another 8 hours the next Sunday.
Yep.
It seems like the way it works, I would be at a higher level than someone who played for 16 hours straight.
You would if they play. If they
that's
played,
what I'm talking about.
If they specifically played the exact
about.
The same amount of time
right.
as you did with no rest.
And that's what I'm in World of Warcraft time.
Right.
You would level faster by taking breaks.
Yes.
And they're to some degree encouraging you to take breaks.
Right. If you don't have a lot of time to play.
Right.
If you have a lot of time to play.
Then it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter. You're going to play and you're going to level faster anyway.
Unless they start making that more dramatic.
Right.
Like if you're on for 16 hours straight, you don't gain any XP.
Right. But they would never do that.
They wouldn't do that.
They've got 8 million subscribers now.
I'm surprised nobody sued them for people dying and stuff.
$8 million subscribers.
And
imagine this. $15
a piece.
Month.
Oh!
8 million people.
Oh!
And probably a good half to...
Killing me.
We'll say a half of those people bought the expansion.
Killing me.
So there's $40 times...
Throw out the 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Nobody
they
cares
could have given that
bucks.
Expansion away for fucking free.
Yeah. I mean... That's crazy.
But you got to realize they host hundreds of servers. They've got hundreds of, shards.
Whoop-de fucking do.
Well, and the thing is, though, I mean, that's actually
that?
A huge deal.
Well, wait.
When I say hundreds of servers, I don't mean hundreds of individual computers. I mean hundreds of realms that you can choose from.
Okay. Let's say it costs them $10 million a month to run those servers.
Right.
How many people do they have?
8 million.
8 million. At 15 bucks a piece. Let's say it costs $4 million. Or, they have 8 million?
8 million.
So if it takes 8 million a month to run those servers, you still have 14 times 8 million, whatever the fuck that is. Which is so much money, it's incomprehensible.
I know. And you gotta pay, and even if you pay your developer, I mean, shit, you could pay every one of your developers $1 million.
Yeah.
And you'd still be rolling in the money.
Yeah.
And that'd be $1 million a month.
All right.
So anyway, great game. Freaking addictive as hell. Honestly, if you have a problem with addictions or if you're addicted to computer games now, if you think you're addicted to computer games now
you're in trouble.
You don't really understand what it means to be addicted.
All right. Let's move on to martial arts stuff because we are an hour into this podcast already. An hour and 6 minutes.
Awesome.
So, martial arts stuff. Welcome, martial arts stuff listeners.
Ha-cha!
I think we are on episode 10 of martial arts stuff.
Are we?
I'm not sure. It's either 8. It's either 9 or 10. It's either 8 or 10. I can't remember which. No, I think it's 10. I'm pretty sure it's 10.
Okay.
So, hey everybody. How you doing?
You're supposed to talk that way to the other audience.
The other audience. This is the more manly audience.
Yeah. I'm going to eat some raw meat and watch some football.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first thing I wanted to mention was Grandmaster Bong Sohan died, I believe, on the 22nd. And he was my Hapkido Grandmaster.
No shit.
Yep. So.
Did you meet him?
No, I never met him. I never met him. So
interesting. So
I will be pouring a little beer on the ground for him tonight.
Good deal.
Props to my homies.
Sorry, I had to do the pounding of the chest.
The pounding of the chest and whatnot.
So now, was he the founder of the system?
He was the founder of one of the Hapkido systems.
Okay. How close was he to the roots of what you learned?
I think he was second generation.
Okay.
So, it's not a very old art. I think Hapkido originated in the 40s, maybe 50s.
Okay.
He was born in 33, so he was pretty young when he got into it. And I think there's two or three main branches, and he's one of those main branches.
Gotcha.
Was the stunt coordinator and fight choreographer for Billy Jack. Don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I didn't see the movie, but...
Yep. But just, props to my grandmaster.
All right, that's cool.
There we go.
And I think that's always kind of a big deal when somebody that high up in the lineage, there's some knowledge there that's gone forever. Because it's never all passed on.
No. And I think that's really unfortunate. And hopefully with things like video content and DVDs and all the ways we have to access media, that we have more and more of that now than we kind of used to. But
right.
It is, whenever something like this happens, the only thing, and I think he was really, really picky about handing out black belts. I think in his entire career, he handed out like 150.
Okay.
Which, when you think about how many years and how huge his school was, that's really not very many.
Right.
And as we've talked about before, when you give a black belt away to someone, really what you have to think to yourself is, I want this person to carry on what I taught and I learned from my instructor. And he gave me this instructor certificate. Let's not say black belt.
Yes.
He gave me this instructor certificate with the same hope in mind.
Right.
So hopefully he has some really good students and really good lineage that can carry on his name and his art. So,
boy, he wasn't terribly old. 60, 70 something.
Yeah. 74.
Okay. All right.
Now we've got two here, and I don't know if you want to take a quick look at these, and if we just want to do one or we want to do both. You want to do both?
Yeah, let's do both.
Okay. I was kind of mulling over and thinking about what our next episode would be on, and one of the things I thought of, and I think we've kind of touched on this subject before to some degree, but I thought we'd talk about overweight and physically challenged students.
Okay.
And I kind of have a debate in my head about one of my instructors, my Hapkido instructor actually, said that the reason he left one of his he was teaching at a Taekwondo school, and the reason he left was because they had this really overweight woman, and sounds to me like it was kind of a McDojo.
Okay.
The woman had given them $2,000 and was there for 2 years.
Right.
So they gave her a black belt and instructor certificate. Or I think they were one and the same. They gave her a black belt.
Ouch.
So she was fairly overweight, couldn't really kick above her waist, yet was teaching Taekwondo. And
well, what did I say? Those who can't do, teach?
That's right. That's right.
In this case, those who can't do, teach.
Very nice. I like that. So it really becomes an issue of I would, and we were talking about this just now, where you want someone to carry on your teachings, yet if they are physically unable to carry on your teachings, what do you do with that person?
Right.
And to me, I've got a debate in my head between, well, let's say you've got someone that's extremely overweight, right? Let's say 300 pounds, okay? They're 5'8", 300 pounds. Now I'm 200 pounds, so that means adding like another third to me, I'd be pretty heavy. Let's say they're 350.
Okay.
All right. They're 350. They're with you for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost 100 pounds. They are dedicated. They're committed. They're loyal. Yet, they can't kick above their waist.
Right.
What do you do with that person? Do you never promote them to black belt?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. And I guess my first inclination would be to say that you don't, and this is the way Chuck does it, is a black belt does not grant you license to instruct.
Now, I think that's me. But at the same time, even if you don't have a license to instruct per se, you still could potentially do some leading of class.
Sure.
Sometimes the head instructor will say, there's a new guy, go over there and help him with his kicks, go right over in there and help him.
I guess I would hope at the point where if you spent that much time and you're that dedicated, that even if you can't physically kick above the waist, you know what it takes to do the moves. You know what I'm right saying? You have the knowledge to, maybe you can't do it yourself, but you can tell when it's done right and when it's done wrong.
So you would say that it would be okay to promote somebody not solely based on physical ability.
Right. But you could, and you could test them that way. I mean, you could do certain things. I mean, you could go through and say, all right, I'm going to throw a series of kicks and I want you to instruct me on what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right. So that way you can at least verify they can tell the difference between a good kick and a bad kick.
Right.
And it's going to be harder for them a little bit if they can't do it themselves because they can't show someone by right demonstrating themselves. Yes. But they could take another student from class who could do it and say, could you demonstrate this kick for us? And then point out the different things that they're doing,
right,
which you do as an instructor anyway.
Right.
You bring in people to showcase what you can do. And you say, okay, will you throw this kick for me? And then right you point things out as they do it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, there that's are ways around point that.
And maybe really what more than anything else, what it's about is having an honest relationship with your students.
Yeah.
And saying, look, dude, you've done awesome. You've been committed. You've been loyal. You've lost 100 pounds in 2 years.
Right.
And
look how far you've come.
And look how far you've come. I'm going to grant you your black belt, but you have to realize that when a younger student or a newer student, I should say, comes to you and says, I want to learn round kicks, you have to understand that you have a limitation where that's concerned.
Right.
Not the worst thing in the world, but the understanding that it's there is probably more important than whether you can do it or not. Because if you can't have that honest relationship with your students, then you're in trouble already. But if they don't understand that their kicks are for shit, then they'll carry on those shitty kicks
right
to the people that they instruct.
Right.
And so if you have that relationship and you communicate to that to them to say, your kicks are for shit, not the worst problem in the world.
Right.
But you need to realize that your kicks are for shit.
Yes.
And so when I give you a new student or when you go to help a new student, you have to have the understanding that I don't want you demonstrating kicks to them.
Right. Anybody should be there. Any martial artist, you need to be aware of your own weaknesses.
Yes.
And you have to accept them. We all have them.
Yep.
I don't care how good you are. You've got a weakness.
Yep.
Something. And you need to know what it is if you're right going to be teaching people because...
Well, and, you know, we're going to get to this a little bit later, but one of the things about us having our own class is that I know that one of the things that makes me a lot more comfortable is... I've never felt that I've been strong at sparring.
Right.
I think I know the philosophical stuff and I think I can coach fairly well. I can kind of identify weaknesses in other people and whoever I'm coaching. I can see when somebody's not moving around in a circle, they're not stepping to the yes side or they're slow, but I can't put that into practice. And part of the reason is that because I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like to put it
to practice. And it's easier to see that stuff when you're an outside observer.
Yes.
Than it is when you're in the middle of it.
Yes. I have always felt that you were good at it. So it's nice to have both of us there to say, so that I can say, look, if you really want to learn to fight and you want to mix it up, Sterling's the one that you want to go to.
Right.
Me recognizing that fact is, I think, an important part of having a school and teaching.
Yes.
So, well, and Chan, for example, he's 50. He's not going to jump in the ring with people.
Right.
He's got other students to do that for him.
Exactly. So. And I think that's part of it, too, is
So I think it's a judgment call, but one of the things you can't do is you can't be a mill. You can't be the black belt mill that just cranks out the black belts.
And I think there's the crux of it is it's, you know, I honestly, to be perfectly honest, I just don't think you can do...
Hi, honey.
Hey!
Sneaking in.
I just don't think you can do it for money and do it for passing on really good solid martial arts at the same time.
I don't know. I think you can do it for both, but I think that what you need to do is you need to have philosophically the segment of your school that you know are there to get some exercise and enjoy something fun, and you have several of your students, probably goes back to the 80-20 rule.
But how do you explain that to those students? How do you take those five or six people who are just awesome and working their asses off and they earn their black belts and explain to them that the two people over there paid you $2,000 to get theirs in 2 years, so you're just going to give it to them?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think that you can sell out.
Right, and that's what I mean.
I do think that
you can make money. Yes, right. But the point is, you
can't. You know,
what are you going to do when you've had the person in your class who's working their ass off, and they still suck?
Right,
like honestly suck. No matter how hard they work, they're just not, and they just don't have the athleticism. They don't have the flexibility, and they've been doing it for 3-4 years now, and they're still
not there.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's
yep,
and so, it's like. They're a great person and all this stuff, but how do you say? And that was, I guess, that was your original question too,
right?
How do you say you don't? You just can't do it.
I
can't promote you to black belt because you don't deserve it. And I guess that's the question: what does it mean to deserve a black belt?
Right. Or do you do it based on other means and say loyalty, commitment, all that stuff,
and
personal growth?
And I think one of the things that will help that is to say, look, the black belt does not come with my blessing to teach.
Right.
A black belt means you have shown this school and me and everybody here dedication, and you're a good person and you've learned a lot of stuff.
You have personal growth, dedication, commitment.
All that stuff. Yep. And that's what a black belt signifies.
Right.
To be a teacher,
it's a whole separate deal.
Is a different thing.
Yeah.
And you have to, like you're right, you have to have this relationship.
And Chuck's Place is the first time I've seen the separation.
Right.
And I think that's critical.
And I think it's good because he had enough faith in us to say, I think you guys would make good teachers.
Right.
And some people make good teachers and some people don't.
Right.
And if you don't make a good teacher, then anybody who owns a school is not going to want you to propagate their art because you're not going to do them any justice.
Yeah. Very, very true.
All right.
Well, let's do that one next time. We'll do that one next time.
See, now you all are intrigued. What are they going to do next time?
What are we going to do next time?
What are they going to do?
We're going to do Flurbin, Stinkit, Flurbin, Flurbin.
Exactly. Yes. I love to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, let's talk about the school.
So we've got a school diary update.
We have a building.
We have a building. I called around several places, including YMCAs, community centers, things like that. We found a place called Elite Health and Fitness, and essentially it's a gym.
Yep.
And they have some exercise rooms for spinning and for aerobics and that kind of stuff. And for $25 an hour, they're going to rent us a room.
Yep.
And the guy seemed pretty excited about it. He was talking about bigger rooms and in the future we'll be able to have this, that, and the other thing. And
right.
He was really pretty jazzed, so I'm pretty excited.
Yep.
So I think the first step, obviously, is getting a place to do it.
Yep.
Getting a room. We finally picked out a name.
Yes.
The San Yendo Athletic Association, which we had a lot of back and forth, a lot of debating about. It didn't have the word martial arts in it.
Right.
It didn't have... what else didn't it have? I don't know. It's a little long.
It's a little long.
It's a little long.
It's got a nice acronym, though.
It's got, if I ever want to start teaching the Wing Chun, I can.
It allows us the ability to expand and not necessarily be solely San Yendo if we don't want and not have, you know what I mean? The athletic association part means we're going to do general athletic stuff as well.
But the San Yendo makes it a little bit more difficult.
Right.
So anyway, we finally decided on a name, San Yendo Athletic Association, which is critical because there are two other things that are dependent upon that. One of which is the webpage,
right?
Which is sydaa.com, which we really don't have anything out there.
Has like our brochure, right?
And the second thing is the brochure,
right? And Dan made a killer brochure.
Yeah, so
he did a hell of a job.
If anybody's curious, go up to sydaa and you can see the brochure I made. Because all I did was I took the images and copied them out onto the webpage, right, just to get something out there. I am not the of the two of us. I am not the web designer.
Well, you could be with what I just saw. So
I fuck it up enough. That's for sure. I trashed our webpage enough times. And you know what? That was a template in Publisher.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I got the flyer out. I have learned that I went down to Kinko's, got 10 copies for $2 a piece, got halfway through my run and I was like, fuck this, $2 a piece. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Got the bright white paper for my printer upstairs and just started cranking them out like that.
And that's just fine. People are going to throw them away once they get it anyway.
Well, there's a certain amount of professionalism that you want.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people are just going to throw them away anyway. Right.
Yeah, those go in the circular file when they're done.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with promotional material. That's the way it works.
Right.
So,
right.
And it's fine.
So our class of February,
which is a Thursday.
Yep. We're going to get together on that Tuesday and sort of hammer out the schedule for, and we'll probably get together before that, but
right,
at least we'll be in the room on that Tuesday.
Yeah, just to check things out and see how it works.
But we have to hammer out sort of exactly the flow of the class and how everything's going to go, and we can only hope for people.
We have a couple already, actually. Number three is talking about coming.
That's right. And the young woman that called me before,
yes,
called me back.
Really?
To see what the schedule was and where we were going.
Oh, well, that's good. Did you tell her what's up?
And I had all the information, and I knew exactly when we were starting and everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Jen said that she was going to talk to her boss about putting the flyers out at Tanaz.
Ah, good deal.
So it's kind of a really ritzy, high-class salon, and I'm sure it will it'll go over pretty well.
Right.
But, you know. And the guy at Elite Health and Fitness said, hey, when you get your flyers done, make sure you bring them in because I'll put them out.
That is going to be good. Yeah. Yes. And the nice thing is high traffic area. Since it's a gym and we had trouble finding a parking spot when we went to see it.
Right.
Which is great
right.
for what we want because we yeah. want people to peek their head in and go.
And he said that he could almost guarantee us two or three people just from the gym.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I hope that the biggest problem we have when we start is that we have 20 people walk through the door.
Yes.
I think that room will only fit about 10.
Mm, me too.
So if we have 20 people walking through the door, that's a good problem to have.
I think it is.
We'll get the bigger room. We'll have the guy clear out that giant room.
Right.
Whatever the case might be.
Yep.
But,
and I'd also like to thank Howard.
Oh,
one of our listeners from Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've been sending a couple emails back and forth and talking a little bit and asked him some questions. He's done a little bit of research.
Yep.
Didn't quite apply because he lives in Canada, but still appreciate the effort and talking to us about school stuff. That was great.
Yep. And he helped me define something when we were talking about saying that we're really for beginner and intermediate students. One of the things that he pointed out, he said, what if an advanced Aikido artist wanted to come to you?
Yes.
And I think that I think that my intention behind that really was beginning an advanced. We don't want advanced students in a striking art.
Right.
Because we're a striking art.
Right.
And they're probably going to be pretty far along the way anyway. Right. So
we're going to be doing stuff that would be boring to somebody who already knows how to throw pretty good punches and kicks and all that kind of stuff. Cause we're going to be from the ground up. I think to be honest, I'm interested in that for me.
Me too.
As much as for teaching it to other people, just to kind of go back through.
I'm getting both nervous and excited as the days pass.
Yeah, me too.
So, well, let's wrap things up. I'm ready to go drinking.
All right, me too.
So,
beer.
Sweet beer. Shirt, hon. Classic Trans Am shirt. Nice. So, let's go drinking.
All right, sweet.
See ya, peoples. Love ya.
That's pretty much it.
See ya. We gotta do our sign-offs, dude. I gotta turn this back on, and now we gotta do our sign-offs.
You suck.
I'm Dan, and I suck.
Yeah. I'm Sterling and Dan sucks.
There you go. Don't need it. Except she's got a little more ass. Don't even bother unless you get that thing she likes. Ooh, I hope she's going home with me tonight. Hey, those flashing lights come from everywhere. The way they hit, I have to stop and stare. She's got me love stone, and I swear she's bad and she knows. I think that she knows. She's freaky, she knows it. She's freaky, but I like it. Yeah.